The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we ready this evening? Are we ready for the word of God this evening? Which church are we in? What church is this? Are we ready for God's word this evening? Glory to God. And so, I'm starting a new series today titled Rapha. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Rapha, it's a Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew word for healing, healed, healed, all of that. How it actually happens in the Hebrew is Rapha, Rapha. It happens two times like that. Rapha, Rapha. This can be better. I don't even know what I'm hearing. Hallelujah. Rapha, Rapha. So, and it occurs 67 times in the Old Testament. So I'll be doing a teaching on this. I actually want to bring you to a point where you can understand God's healing and eventually experience it. Now, this is what I'm going to say. And I say this all the time when I want to teach on healing. The subject of divine healing is so important. It's so important. If you don't need it now, you need it tomorrow. Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. If you don't need the teaching of divine healing now, you will need it tomorrow. If you don't need it now, you will need it tomorrow. If you don't need it for yourself now, you might need it now for someone you know. Or you might need it in the future for someone you know. So it's not just a question of saying, I'm not sick. You are either sick now, or you'll be sick tomorrow. I get any point. Now, even if you are not sick, someone you know might be sick, and someone you know that is very dear to you might be sick tomorrow. And I always say, you don't learn how to shoot gun when you get into the battlefield. You learn to shoot gun before the battle starts. Because this is one of the challenges we have in practicing God's word, and we make it look like God's word doesn't work. When there is no problem, that is when to learn God's word. When you are not desperate, you know, I put this on Facebook this afternoon. When you are not desperate, that is when to learn God's word. When desperation has come, so when nobody is sick, you are fine. That's when to begin to learn divine healing. It's not when you are now very down on your sick bed. You are trying, when you are down on your sick bed, that is the time to practice and not the time to learn. I know what I'm talking about. Are you following me? That's when to practice and not when to learn. Just like trusting the Lord, maybe later this year, maybe by next month, this sound is still flawed. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe by next month or so, I'm going to do, maybe, I don't know when God will have me do that, maybe next month, begin to talk about finances. I get the point. Finance. It's not when you are now broke. You can't find food to eat. You don't say, I want to learn God's word on finances. What is going to happen is, you eventually get your result. It will take you a longer time. It is when there is no problem that you begin to master, how does this finance thing work? Like some of you that are students, this is the time to learn about your finances. Because the biggest thing you need now is, mommy should give me money. Or daddy should give me money. But at the time when the biggest thing you need is no longer mommy should give me money, it will now be real life. I feel I'm talking about here. So, the teaching of divine healing is something you need. Or you will need. Because, you know, when people hear things like, I've not been sick in the past 3 years, what they understand is, sickness has never come to me in the past 3 years. But that's wrong.
Whenever I hear people say, I've been sick in the past 5 years, they're not saying sickness has not come. They're just saying it has not stayed. They've learned how to deal with it. They've learned how to fight it off. Why? We live in a fallen world. Sicknesses will come. There is sin in this world. There is Satan in this world. Satan did not get born again when you got born again. So the temptations and the attacks of the devil will keep coming to you repeatedly until you eventually master how to conquer. So I want to bring you to understand and eventually experience the healing power of God in your life. Amen. I read a book some time ago, and the man gave us, because where I'm going to say this is, the first step in dealing with divine healing, not just divine healing, every of God's stuff, everything God does, it starts from the mind. Do you understand? I was listening to a man recently, and was talking about finances, how that he went to a business school, he said he has been to 3 business schools in his life. He said, and all of them follow the same pattern. The first few weeks you spend there, they're not talking about business. They're dealing with your mind. All of them. He said they're teaching faith. They're not just calling it faith. They're telling you, must stop seeing yourself like this. This is how you see yourself. They do that for a couple of weeks before they now begin to show you. Because if something is wrong with your perception or your mentality, every business will still fail. Let me tell you, if you are a millionaire in your mind and they give you 10,000, you will turn this to 1 million. If you're a thousandaire, if they give you 1 million, you bring it down. I'm telling you, and it's not about, it's here. For instance, talking about money now, that is the lifestyle of the rich. That is the thought pattern of the rich. If you are not thinking like that and acting like that, you keep acting like a poor man. If they give you 10 million, that your lifestyle will bring your money down to where you're supposed to be. That's why there is need for mental programming first before every other thing. So the first issue we have with divine healing is not putting hands on the sick. It's God doing something in your mind. That's why knowledge is one of the most important things you need if you're going to get healed and walk in divine healing. Are you following what I'm saying? Knowledge. Which is one of the greatest lies the devil has told this generation is that it is not God's will to heal the sick. Many people believe, God can heal, but he doesn't always want to heal. You know, there's a story in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Okay? And in that story, a leper met Jesus and told Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will. So he wasn't saying, Jesus, if you can. He knew Jesus could, but he wasn't sure if he just wanted to. And that's the problem. Everyone knows that God can heal the sick. All of us say at least know that God is powerful. But when we are praying, we are wondering, I hope he wants to do it today. So the problem is, does God want to heal? Will God always heal? Are there times God does not want to heal for whatever reason? Are there people God will not want to heal? Are there people that he wants to heal? I get what I'm talking about. So it's a question of God's willingness. And if you're going to walk in divine health, you must be able to have answers to this. So I read this book and the man gave 30 reasons why he believes that it is God's will to heal. Very powerful material. 30 reasons. I read this some time ago. And when I was working on this message, I remember that book. 30 reasons why he believes that it is God's way to heal. And I'm going to give you a few reasons today too. Maybe not up to 30. But I'm going to give you a few reasons why I believe. We should have up to 20 or so. Why I believe it is God's will to heal the sick. We'll not finish today. Anybody will stop today. We'll continue next on Sunday. Are you here? Uh-huh. We have time. The subjects of divine healing are things that we have to learn over a long period of time. Because it's not just about hearing, it's about things staying in your mind. Amen. So I want to start by showing you it is God's will to heal the sick. God wants to heal. The first reason why I believe that it is God's will to heal, not just to heal the sick, but to heal everybody, is because first of all, God himself says he is a healer. He calls himself a healer. Exodus 15 verse 26. He said, I am the Lord that healed thee. That's what Rapha. He said, I am your Rapha. I am the Lord that healed thee. So he calls himself a healer. He said, if thou diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, okay, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these things upon the Egyptians, which I have brought upon the which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healed thee. So he introduced himself as a healer. And so Rapha is not just what God does. Rapha is who God is. Healing is not just what God does. Healing is who he is. And so because he calls himself a healer, I know that he's not going to change his personality. Malachi tells us, chapter 3 and verse 6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. In other words, God has never changed. God will never change. And so if he called himself a healer in Exodus, he's still a healer in Matthew. If he calls himself a healer in Matthew, he's still a healer in Revelation. And even after that. So the first reason I believe that it is God's will to heal the sick is because God himself says he's a healer. Rapha, that's the word. It means to cure, to heal, to mend, to repair, to thoroughly make whole. That's the word Rapha. I take it again. It means to cure, to heal, to mend, to repair, to thoroughly make whole. So God says, I am the one that makes whole. I'm the one that repairs. I'm the one that mends. That's why I say, I pray that prayer over you over every time. What needs to be fixed is fixed. What needs to be repaired is repaired. What needs to be replaced is replaced. What must be created anew is created anew. I get the point. Because sometimes your body is a new organ that has to be formed. And God is a healer. His name is Rapha. Don't worry, sit. I'm coming. So I pray that prayer because I know what when you hear me go over that statement, what needs to be fixed is fixed. I'm actually explaining the meaning of the word Rapha to you. I get the point. Because Rapha means to mend, to cure, to heal, to fix, to thoroughly make whole. And God is a healer. So I believe it is God's way to heal because he himself is a healer. He said, so healing is not just what he does. Healing is who he is. In Psalm 147 and verse 3, the psalmist spoke concerning this. He said, he healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. That's what God does. So God is a healer. Hallelujah. It is funny, it's strange if you are asking a healer whether he wants to heal. That is who he is. That's what he does. Get the point? Just like asking a plane if it wants to fly. Planes fly. That's what he does. I know what I'm talking about. Telling a tailor if he wants to sew. Tailor sew. That's what they do. Are you following the point? So God is a healer. He said, he healed all the broken he had and binded up their wounds. Bind up their wounds. That's God. So first of all, we see in the character of God. Because today I'm just dealing with the character of God actually. Because I'm giving you reasons why I believe God can heal. But I'm going to just come today from the aspect of God's character. So first of all, we see God is a healer. The second reason why I believe that this is God's will to heal every sickness, every time, at all times, in all circumstances, is because sickness is of the devil. Yes. Sickness is not of God. If sickness, you know, and that's one thing you must correct in your head. There is no sickness that is from God. Please write it. There is no sickness. There is no sickness that is of God. Because if you believe that some sicknesses come from God, it means you have to doubt God's willingness to heal. Because maybe he put this one for a reason. But some people have not settled this fact of sickness comes from the devil. So maybe they are sick and they feel, what if God just brought this one to show me something? What if there is a reason he let this one stay in my body? God never makes anyone sick. Sickness is of the devil. Now, hear what I'm going to say. God does not bring tough times. But God can use tough times. Do you know what I say now? God will not bring tough times. For instance, someone can fall sick. And in the process of time, he begins to lose faith. And God begins to teach him in that situation. So what has God done? God has taken advantage of that sickness to teach him a few lessons on faith. But God will not bring tough times just for the sole purpose of teaching you. God doesn't do that. Are you what I'm talking about? You must understand where God stands and what he does. So because I know sickness is of the devil, I know that every time that the sickness, God wants to heal it. Because every sickness is demonic. I get what I'm saying. God has never made anybody sick. I won't say that again. God has never. Somebody says, what of Paul's thorn in the flesh? He said, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Well, let me put it very clear. The thorn in the flesh Paul was talking about, I've explained that many times, was not a sickness. God didn't make Paul sick. Read context, read down. Paul was talking about the things he suffered for the gospel, the men and women that persecuted him in the course of ministry. He said that thorn in the flesh is a messenger of Satan. That word messenger in the Greek is angelos. It's the word angel. Used is called messenger, angel. It can be used for human angel, for human beings. It can be used for angels of God. So if you read Revelation, Bible says to the angel in the church of, this, right? It's not talking about angel as in divine angel. It's talking about the pastor, the messenger in charge. So Paul is saying there was a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. That is the thorn in his flesh. It was persecution. So he prayed to the Lord three times to remove it. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient to you. So, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So what is God telling Paul? Persecution is not good, is not going to end. And it's actually found in God's word that we always face persecution for the gospel. I get what I'm talking about. That verse is not in any way trying to say that God made Paul sick. If you are sick now, it's not God, it's the devil. I know him. Because the game is placed, he's trying to make you feel like God gave you this for a reason. It's because you sinned, he gave it to you. Listen, sin can bring sickness. Now, let me put this, because there are narratives. You can sin and you become sick. But it doesn't mean God gave it to you. It's just a consequence of your sin. Are you what I'm talking about? Never you bring God in the equation of anything sickness. It's very clear who makes people sick in the Bible is the devil. And so because I know sickness of the devil, I am convinced beyond every reasonable doubt that it is God's will to heal. Because God will not let something of the devil stay and have his place on the earth. I get the point. Let me show you some scriptures. From the known, I'll go from some scriptures I've shown you before I show you other ones. Luke 13 verse 16, very popular. Luke 13 verse 16. Because the story, the background of this story, I always read this scripture whenever I teach on healing. The background of this story was that Jesus met a woman who was bent over. She was sick. She had, maybe I could call that rheumatoid arthritis also. She was bent over like this. And then, Bible says she has been like that for 18 years. And Jesus healed her. And so the Pharisees came and said, why will you heal this woman on the Sabbath day? And he now gave this answer in verse 16. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? So who bound that woman for 18 years? Satan. So Jesus was so clear on who kept that woman in that condition. Amen. And before you think this Satan causing this sickness was peculiar to this woman. Because some people say, so every sickness that is caused by the devil, some sicknesses are not caused by the devil. Well, every sickness is caused by the devil. While I understand, I'll still get to that in this series, if God permits us, that there are some bad habits you can engage in, and sicknesses come, you can stress yourself so much, and you have a headache. But the fact that there is a headache in this world at all is because of Satan. Yeah. Because in the original plan of God, there was not meant to be a headache. I know what I'm talking about. The fact that we have a headache at all, in this world that we are, I showed you that I raised of heart, remember that? The reason that I said that is because of Satan. And so, before you think we're just talking about this particular woman, Acts 10:38 makes it very clear that everybody that Jesus healed, we are oppressed of the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that we are oppressed of the devil. So, everybody Jesus healed in the four Gospels, they were all oppressed of the devil. The blind, the dumb, whether they say it was a strange spirit holding them or not, all of them were oppressed of the devil. Look at that. The leper, the man that had been bedridden for 38 years. So it's very clear who causes sickness. Don't get it twisted. So because I know the devil causes sickness, I know God wants to deal with sickness. I'll show you another scripture. Psalm 41 and verse 8. Psalm 41. We'll read it, King James, but the translation I want to actually use is Passion Translation and YLT. So look at this. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Do you have YLT? Young Literal Translation. Put it up. Because that gave, you know, I've explained this YLT for his one interesting translation, because it translates from the Hebrew language directly. Okay? From the Hebrew language directly. Look at what he says concerning that verse. It said, a sin of Belial is poured out on him, and because he lay down and rise not again. What did King James say? King James said he has, okay, no, be there, be here, be in YLT. King James said an evil disease. Get the point? King James said an evil disease. NLT said some fatal disease. YLT said a thing of Belial. That's what I pass in the Hebrew. You know what Belial is? Talking about Satan. A thing of Belial. So what made that man sick that he later couldn't rise again was something from Satan. It is Satan that makes people sick. That's what I'm trying to say. Are you following what I'm saying? A thing of Belial is poured out on him, and because of that, he rises not again. Because David was talking about, you know, what his friends were saying about him. The accusations and all of that against him. He said, they said concerning him that the thing of Belial is poured out on him. Because they understood that if this guy is sick, something from the devil is making him sick. Are you following what I'm saying? Job. Let me show you one more. Job chapter 2, verse 7. So when Satan falls from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Simple. It was Satan that gave Job boils in his body. Are you following me? Very clear. You know, if you study in the book of Job much later, you see Job speaking as though it was God that made him sick. He even told his friends, will you receive good from God and not receive evil? But the Bible is so clear that it was actually Satan that put this on him. That's why I always show you this. Towards the end of the book of Job, Job will later repent. He said, I repent because I've heard of thee by rumors. So Job actually acknowledged that, okay, many things I said about God in this chapter, in this book, were not actually correct. Because actually it wasn't God that made Job sick, it's very clear. It was the devil that said, let me harm him. So all the balls that came upon Job, it was from the devil. But you see what the problem is? If you don't get it very clear that it is the devil doing all of this, you will not even know the battle to fight. You might even be entertaining the devil, entertaining sickness in your body, thinking it is God. And you go to pray for someone, and then you pray, the person doesn't get well. You say, why didn't he get well? You say, maybe God wanted him sick. God wants nobody sick. Somewhere in this series, I'm going to teach on why healings don't come. I'm going to address that. I get what I'm saying. Why healings don't happen. But it's not God that makes people sick. So I believe that God is always willing to heal because sickness is of the devil. Are you still here? I said, are you still here? The third reason why I believe that it's always God's will to heal is because God is merciful. And healing is an act of God's mercy. I say that again. God is merciful. And healing is an act of God's mercy. You know, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. In Matthew 15 and verse 22. We see people requesting for healing from Jesus. A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is giving birth to the devil. So she wanted Jesus to heal her son, or her daughter rather, What did she appeal to? She appealed to the mercy of Jesus. I'm going to show you something in the Bible, because you understand that healing is actually an act of God's mercy. And this is going to change your life. You understand what I'm going to say now? Healing is an act of God's mercy. So what that simply tells you is that nobody receives healing because he merits healing. Anyone that receives healing is because God is merciful towards the person. Come on, I feel what I'm talking about. Nobody receives healing because he merits healing. Anyone that receives healing receives it because God was just merciful to the person. So he says, Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed to the devil. See the next verse. But he answered her, not a word. Disciples came and besought him, saying, Send them, for she cried after us. Verse 24. And when he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lordship of Israel. Okay, continue. Then she came and worshipped and said, Lord, help me. She was still appealing to his mercy. He said, It's not good. Look at this scripture later, not today. It's not good for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And the woman said, Okay, even I'm a dog. Dogs can eat from the crumbs. All she was saying is, Have mercy on me. Jesus said, Oh, that's okay. And, you know, this is very important because, you understand, many people come to God to ask for healing, and all they're trying to do is to deserve healing. They're trying to merit healing. You get the point? So what and what should I do to be saved? Pay your tithes. Stop lying. I mean, to be healed rather, okay? Pay your tithes. Stop lying. What else? You're wearing trousers. Cut all your trousers and burn them. They're trying to merit it. You cannot. God doesn't heal you because you merit it. Healing is an act of his mercy. Every instruction we give you as for receiving healing is not actually an attempt at making God give you the healing. No. It's just to prepare people to receive what God wants to give you, because healing is by his mercy. So she told Jesus, Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 48. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 48. Mark 10:48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. That's this sort of Bartimaeus. But he cried the more of a great deal. Son of David, have mercy on me. There is something these guys knew that we don't know. That's how we struggle with healing. So while ministering healing, something is disqualifying you already because of one or two things you think you did. Let me say this to you. Sin can bring sickness, but sin can never stop healing. You know what I said? Sickness can come because of sin. But sin is not powerful enough to stop God's healing. The only thing sin can do is that the man that is receiving, he can fill that man's heart with guilt and make him feel like you're not qualified. So there is guilt. There is condemnation. These things can affect your healing. But sin can never stop God from delivering healing to anybody. It doesn't do that. It might affect the man's receiving because he's feeling guilty. You get the point? Or maybe I'll talk about bitterness and the rest of them. Maybe he's hurting. It can affect his receiving. But sin in itself can never stop God from releasing his healing power towards anybody, because it's a matter of mercy. So have mercy on me, thousand of them. All these people Jesus healed, we have no record of their past life, whether they were good or they were bad. I was telling somebody, there are chances that some people that Jesus healed even joined to say, crucify him. But healing is an act of God's mercy. That's why God heals even unbelievers. A prostitute hits the streets, contacts HIV, comes to crusade. Bam! She testifies, she's healed. People are saying, can God heal that person? It's an act of his mercy. And need I tell you that God is merciful forevermore? His mercies are new every morning. So as long as God's mercy abides, healings will never cease. Oh, you get what I'm saying? As long as the mercy of God is new every morning, healings will never cease. So she appealed to the mercy, or he appealed to the mercy of Jesus. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. The steadfastness. You know that song? Of the Lord ne ceaseth. Yes.
Come on, sing it.
Morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great. Let's do it one more time. Say the steadfastness, the
steadfast
love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end.
His mercies never come to an end.
They are new things. Faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness, O Lord.
Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness.
Now, there is something God has been telling me to do for a very long time, and I know one of these I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a full teaching on the mercy of God. It's a revelation that many people don't have. That's why people don't get many things they're looking for. Because they want to merit those things. And every time we talk about mercy, people think mercy is only about people that have sinned. Everybody needs the mercy of God. Look at this verse. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, a companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and he was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. So this guy was sick. Verse 27. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but even on me, so that I will not have sorrow. So it was mercy that brought healing to Epaphroditus. What's the mercy of God? People, whenever we talk about mercy, people think that preaching mercy because they've sinned too much. They want God to have mercy on them. Mercy is not only available for people that have sinned. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Yeah. Lamentation 3 verse 21. God is a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy. And healing is an act of his mercy. See, this I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. So, Jeremiah said that something I remember. And it gives me hope. What did he remember? It is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. There are things that when you call to mind, it encourages you. Say, this I call to mind. This I recall to mind. Oh, therefore have I hope. Therefore have I hope. You know what NLT says? NLT said, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. You can dare to hope again. You can dare to believe again. Because you know you are not appealing to God. You are not appealing to God because of whatever you have. You are appealing to his mercy. I dare to hope again. And I want to say that to someone, you can hope again. You can, even if you made mistakes in the past that knocked you out of what you were expecting, there is such a thing as the mercy of God that when it shows up, you don't have to deserve anything, just gives it to you. Recent times I've learned to pray and appeal to God's mercy. Because if God begins to give us what we deserve, none of us will have anything. Even the most perfect of us will not have anything. So it is the mercy of God. I was teaching a pastor on grace, mercy, and all of that. I told him, when you are done with all the church growth principles, I said, pray, ask God for grace, ask for his mercy. He said, why? I said, because any principle you want to apply, there are people that have applied the same principles and they failed. The race is not for the swift. The battle is not for the strong. It is who the Lord showed mercy. Look at this. Go to the next verse. Verse 23. Go to King James. Because he said, they are new every morning. This is the song we just sang now. Great is thy faithfulness. Verse 24. The Lord is my portion, said my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Verse 26 is not very powerful. See, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for Lord's salvation. So it's good for you to hope and to believe and to wait for him. He will come through, because it's about his mercy and not about the fact that you deserve it. That's why if there's any prayer you're praying, you're expecting, I'd like you to know that when he shows up and he shows you that mercy, you will enjoy things that you know you didn't buy. Things you know you don't deserve. It's the mercy of God. Since I hear people encouraging that people should now sin and appeal to God's mercy. Whether you sin or not, you need God's mercy, sir. Yeah. So healing is an act of mercy. Never come to God trusting for healing because you think, but that is the lie the devil plays, tells us. Why should I be sick? My prayer life is intact. I go to church. They say you should confess every morning. Healing is mine. I confess it every morning, even 5 times in a day. Why am I sick? Something is still trying to push you into performance-based Christianity. I know what I'm talking about. As good as confession is, something is trying to push you back into that performance mindset. God is going to heal you because he's a healer. And in his healing, there is mercy. So you notice, I was talking this about 42 story. And Paul did not say he was sick unto death. And thank God for our faith. Thank God for, of course, I know Paul prayed for him. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said God had mercy on him. It was mercy that was extended to him. And Paul said, even to me. Because indeed, it is not people that die that feel pain. It is their brothers that feel pain. And their relatives. So, it was also mercy to Paul. That's why when your sibling is sick, you can ask, Father, have mercy on me. And heal this brother. Because if he dies, doesn't feel no pain, except he is going to hell. It is you on earth that is in pain. So Paul said, that mercy was not just about him, it also touched me. So somebody needs to hear. You know, I was reading 2 Corinthians, was that 1 and verse 3? Please, let me check. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Oh, hallelujah. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God is the Father of mercies. He has plenty of mercies to give. Father means source. It is from him that mercy flows. Oh, come on. It's from him that mercy flows. He has too much mercy. So that's why I know that God will heal every time I pray. I don't care what those people have done. I know he's going to heal them. And that's why on this other side of my voice, and whatever sickness you are passing through is because of this and that you've done. There is the mercy of God. Someone can lose her womb through her sin or because of her mistakes, and God gives her another baby. That is God. It doesn't have to make sense to you. Say, after all of this is committed. You know, one of the things I like about God is that he always makes religious people angry. He meets the worst of people and he helps them. And the religious man is thinking, so if there's anybody God will give a child, why is he you? Why is he not me? Well, that's why it's the mercy of God. He says, so God purposely gave that guy because he's a sinner. Let me tell you one thing you have to understand. What I'm going to show you is a very big secret. It's good to be a good person. But watch what I'm going to show you. If that any two people can come, let me show you this. Any two people can come. Here, come. If these two people, because you have to see, Jesus gave this parable in the Bible. Two people went to pray. The other person said, Lord, you know, prayed out of pride. Look for that scripture for me. Say, Lord, you know I'm a good person. You know I'm perfect. You know I'm this, those kind of things. I pay my tithes. I do this. The other person came to pray and said, Lord, you know I'm a sinner. This is the reason why sometimes it looks like the perfect Christians don't always get answers to their prayers. Because that perfect Christian, whatever in their head, has messed with their mind and are praying from that standpoint. So this one comes to pray. Who is the perfect person here now? So this one comes to pray. He's perfect. Goes to church. Good brother. Reads his Bible. That is this one. Who comes to church once in a while? Who is not even... She has four boyfriends. She's this. That's not word of knowledge. I'm just saying. You understand? So she has all of that. Now, look at the problem in prayer. Remember, God is happy with this person. Because not only is he born again, he's living the life of Christ. He's growing spiritually. This one now does not even know where she stands. The mistake you will make is when he now comes to pray, he's praying with that confidence as the guy who is a serious person. Father, you know I deserve this. That's the mistake. That prayer of Hezekiah. It's not a very healthy prayer for the New Testament guy. Hezekiah saying to the Lord, you know all the things I have done, so extend my years. That's the wrong way to pray. I found scripture. The Pharisee stood and prayed. Look at the prayer he prayed. I thank thee, that's Luke 18, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. You see that thing. Now, everything he's doing is not bad, though. See the next verse. Just go. I'm going back to verse 14. I'm going back there. Go again. That's what I want to show you. Verse 15. Go back to verse 14. Because Jesus, there's a place Jesus said, this you ought to do. There's nothing wrong with paying tithes. There's nothing wrong with giving whatever. But the problem was, it now formed the base for his prayer. You now I fast. You now I pay my tithes. I fast twice a week. What a serious Christian. He said, I give tithes of everything I have. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now look at another person's prayer. The publican standing afar off, not even lift his eyes into heaven. But what the point is saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you know what Jesus said in verse 14? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. So the other guy appealed to the mercy of God. The other person said, I've done it. So it's not like God is answering this person because she's a very bad person. It looks like God answers bad people. No. It's just because of some of those their mistakes will make them to appeal to God's mercy faster than this person will. This person thinks, I don't need mercy. I have achieved what I want. I've attained righteousness. I've attained. I get what I'm talking about. So he's sick, he's praying for the name of Jesus. Oh, I know you're going to heal me. This other person said, God, I don't even know if I deserve this healing. But please, Mary, my baby, heal me. And God will just say, yes. While God is not approving what she's doing, God will give her whatever. Because, you see that mercy? What will stop this one from getting whatever he's looking for is that he feels he deserves it. I know self-righteousness is something that stinks before God. It stinks before God. So I am going to be healed. Not because I have done everything that I'm supposed to do. I'm going to be healed because God loves me. He's my Father. He will show me his mercy. And when I'm releasing my faith, I know God is going to show me mercy and heal me. Now sit. This is why, see, that's why you see some people there. Now, away from spiritual things now, you see some people who think that they are going to live 200 years because they drink only bottled water. I get what I'm saying. They don't take soda. I'll still come to this later. I just want to use this. They don't take soda. They don't eat food that they did not cook. They don't use artificial spices. What else? They run regular checkup every month. And somehow they just feel, how can I be sick? I will live long. Amen. There's a guy on the internet that is making waves. What's that doctor guy? Yes. Now I'm not saying anything against him. He's saved, you know, right? He's a believer and all of that. Saved guy.
But for that guy to fall sick, that should tell you that this race is not for the swift. Yeah. For him to fall sick. Now, sir, somebody says, sir, thank you, because me, I've told myself I can't do all of this. Well, I'll still come to that, because that's the natural side to what I'm saying. You cannot be saying something with your mouth and negating that thing you're doing by your action. Say, Father, I'm walking in health. You're eating all the rubbish. I'm coming. Don't worry. Later, we day. But even with all of that, don't ever think that this is why I'm going to be fine. The same drugs you took and you got well, someone took it and died. So that's why, again, I want to say, that's why prayer is very important. The man who does not pray is a proud man. He's entirely saying to God, I don't need your grace, I don't need your mercy, I can do without you. That's what it means to not pray. One of the things I've learned to do in my life is I pray about everything. Especially those things I think I don't need prayer for. Should I say that again? I pray about everything, especially those things I think. What is there? The basic thing is, when you plant maize, in 3 months come and harvest it. Who needs prayer for that? You see, some simple things. Those are the things I actually pray about. Because if you're not careful, you are just relying on everything that you know. Are you following me? Paul said, God had mercy on me. God had mercy on Epaphroditus. Are you following me? And so, I know it's God's will to heal, because healing is an act of His mercy, and God is very merciful. So, in other words, I'm not trying to say that you qualify for God's healing. Because an act of His mercy. And even the worst of sinners qualify for mercy. That's why it's called mercy. So if you're under the sound of my voice and you are sick, I came to tell you, you qualify for the healing of God. You qualify for that cancer to get out of your system. You qualify for that blind eye to be. You qualify. Why? It's the mercy of God. And in the course of this series, healing is going to hit you up and down. The things that have been holding onto your body, messing your system up, you're going to find God's power, search through your system, and pull those things out. Get set. Get set. Because the Bible tells us He sent His word and He healed our diseases. That which has gone wrong with your system, in the name of Jesus, is going to be fixed. There are even some people who are sick, they don't know that they are sick. But you're going to begin to see the healing power of God search through your system. So if you find movements in your body, things readjusting, things being fixed, bones cracking and fixing up by the power of God. Yes. Because God is going to show us mercy. He's going to show us mercy. He's going to show us. And we qualify. Say, I qualify. Come on, say, I qualify. I qualify. So what's your qualification? God's mercy. So you see all the people that came to Jesus in the four gospels, they just come and say, have mercy upon me, because they know that that's how God heals. God is merciful. And He will show you mercy. If you think you do not deserve mercy, that's actually proof that you deserve it. It's mercy. Do you know what is mercy? Mercy is to give to people what they don't deserve. That's what mercy is. Mercy is not reward. Reward is to give people what they worked for. Mercy is to give people what they don't deserve. Amen. So you see Jesus meeting that woman that was caught in adultery and showed her mercy. You know, Jesus did something in that passage. He told those men, any of you who is without sin, be the first to cast your stone. Do you know what He was trying to tell them? All of you need mercy, just like this woman needs the mercy too. Nobody is too perfect to not have need for the mercy of God. Because even our self-righteousness at its best is still like filthy rag before God. And that's why I tell people, whenever people ask me, what is the secret to this, this and this you've done? I can give them the things I've done, but I say to them, see, go and pray. Let God help you. Because at the end of the day, it's not always a formula. It's not like mathematics. That you always apply the formula and you succeed. It's like physics. Scratch that. But you know what I mean, right? You know, physics is the only thing that they will give you formula. You use the formula and still fail it. And you now ask why? They say they convert it to kilogram. Wait, why did you ask me the question in centimeter? Why did you put it in gram? Why did you put it in kilogram when you asked me? Just to stress me. Say it's because I didn't convert it to kilogram. Why did you not simply, is it just to make life difficult for everybody? Simply ask it in kilogram. I will give you the answer in kilogram. But that's how physics is. They give formula. Then I'll say, oh, it has, something should have derived. Why am I deriving? I think it's a mass we derive. Why are we deriving things? But that's how it is. It's not always by applying the thing, you think you'll get it. So it's not where you think you've done everything you know to do. When you've done everything you know to do, you prayed, you've obeyed every instruction that you know, kneel down and say, Father, help me. I am faithing this, not because I've been perfect with it. I'm putting my faith in you because I know you can do it and you want to do it for me. Not because I've done anything okay. I know what I'm talking about. God receives it. So God's healing power is available to fix every situation. Number four. Why am I sure that it is God's will to heal and always heal? Very simple. Because Jesus healed the sick in the four Gospels. And that's as simple as that. Why are you talking about just healing the sick? Let me show you something. Jesus himself lets us know that he is the true character of God. You know, God is not revealed in Moses or in Elijah. God is revealed in Jesus. God is revealed in Jesus. In John chapter 14, Jesus told them, he told Philip in verse 7, he said, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Verse 7, he said, if you had known me, you should have known the Father. And henceforth you know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And so if you see Jesus, you've seen God. And throughout his stay in the four Gospels, throughout his stay on earth, there was no sickness he met that he didn't fix. When I look at the character of Jesus towards sicknesses, it reassures me again that God is a healer. And he always wants to heal. He met blind Bartimaeus. See, everybody he met. Lepers. Everybody. If I look, I talked to this, one of the teaching you on the logic of God. I think it was Christmas last 2 years or so. Whenever you see, you want to know God's thought pattern towards any matter, pay attention to how Jesus related with that matter in the four Gospels. For instance, you would have said, God doesn't provide money for people. Look at how Jesus related with lack in the four Gospels. Every day he saw lack, he kicked it out. That alone shows, because Jesus is God's character. It's one of the, this is not the little, but it's one of the simplest texts you can run. God does not like women. Doesn't want women to preach and all of that. Look at how Jesus related to women in the four Gospels. You get the point? He healed them. He took care of them. It was a woman, Mary, and Martha, women that came to cry that he raised us from the dead. So all these people that are fatty, that are feminists, it's because they don't actually understand what God's order is. So when God now says, wife, submit to your husband, don't understand it to mean that God is saying that women are inferior. Because God is already clear on how he sees women. Just by looking at how Jesus interacted with women. Are you what I'm saying? He loved them. He protected them. The one time a woman was supposed to be stoned in the Bible, he stopped all the men from stoning her. Yeah. So you already begin to see God's thought pattern towards women. I don't know why this is coming up. I just sense that digression in my spirit. Are you following me? You can already see this is what God thinks of women. This is what he thinks women are. So, when feminists are fighting and are saying, somebody even said that even Paul is not helping matters. Paul says we should, no, God is not against any woman. God thinks a woman can be the president. God thinks a woman can be a pastor. When Jesus helped that Samaritan woman, he sent her to go and preach. And she converted, she brought her whole community to come and listen to him. So that was an evangelist right there. I don't know what I'm talking about here. So it's not actually Jesus that is against women. It is religion that is against women. It is religion that says a woman should not enter the temple. It is religion that says a woman should not touch this and touch this. When Jesus came, he showed them, I'm breaking this barrier. You can't stone this woman. I know what I'm talking about here. Because stoning that woman was very stupid. Didn't make any sense. Law of Moses or no law of Moses? Very stupid. Because no woman commits adultery with herself. She was committing adultery with somebody, a man. And they said they caught her in the act. So they caught both of them. Why didn't they bring the man and the woman? So possibly the man had joined the crew of the people that even brought the woman. Do you understand the point? It's religion that is against women. And they now got there. Jesus said, he that is without sin. Imagine he was pointing at that man that was, he that is without sin, be the first to cast. And of course, they ran away. So God is showing you this, where I stand on this matter. That's the same thing with healing. If you look at how Jesus interacted with sicknesses, you can tell God's will over sicknesses. He wants to heal you. You need to hear what I'm saying. Some of you, when I'm done with this teaching, you need to go and sit on these things again. Until it enters you, that whenever a sickness is dropping on your body, is falling off. What did Paul know? That a viper beat him and stuck to his hand. He flung the thing off and nothing happened to him. There was something he knew. He knew the healing power of God. So you look at how Jesus healed the sick. Everybody he met, he healed. He never met anybody and told them to go and confess their sins. He never met anybody to say, you have ancestral curse. I'm not going to heal you. He never met anybody to say, you are a sinner. Everybody he met, he didn't even question the source of the sickness. So, I already showed you Acts 10:38. Bible said he healed all that were oppressed of the devil, Jesus. I'll show you again, Matthew 4:23. Bible said Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. I like all manner. Oh, cancer is part of all manner. He healed all manner of sicknesses. Paralysis is part of all manner. No, give it whatever name you call it. He healed all manner of sicknesses. That was his earthly ministry. So, you see, when they report like this, you will just learn that all the miracles of Jesus they told you about in the four Gospels, they just told you those ones for a reason. That's something I wanted to show you. Jesus healed many more people than the Bible can carry. Because how many places he healed all manner. There was a time the Bible said, I will show you, I think that Luke chapter 4, he said he healed them all. The inhabitants of that gathered everybody in that community. So, actually, like what I was teaching you in Raise of Facts, just a little lesson in Bible study. When you are studying Genesis, I told you, Genesis, Moses was not trying to give us an account of everything that happened in that time. You remember I told you that? Everything written in Genesis had a purpose. That same day, when you're reading the miracles of Jesus in the four Gospels, the ones they wrote down, there was a reason they wrote it. Because if you're talking about the miracles that man did, everybody, all manner of sicknesses, all manner of diseases. Luke chapter 4. Or before Luke chapter 4, Matthew 8 verse 16. Let's stay in Matthew for some time. Matthew 8 verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Now this is the second time, first the last time we've seen Matthew chapter 4, everybody was healed. He cast out the spirits with the sword and healed all. Somebody say all. Healed all that were sick. All that were sick. So you look at the character of how Jesus acted in the four Gospels. I am so sure it is God's way to heal. Luke 4 verse 40. Luke 4 verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them
unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them. So everyone, and healed him. Every one of them. So you cannot be asking whether God wants to heal you. The answer is 1,000 times yes. Remember again, Jesus is the true character of God. Remember again, he told us in John chapter 6, verse 38, he said, I have come now from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. So everything he was doing on earth was God's will. So it is God's will to heal the sick. It's God's will for cancer to disappear. It's God's will for lepers to be healed. Are you following what I'm saying? In John 14 verse 10, he told them, the things I say, and the things I do, and the things I see and learn from my Father. Look at that. Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So all the works you see Jesus doing, was the Father doing the work. So when you see Jesus healing the sick, it was the Father healing the sick. Healing the sick. So I believe it is God's will to heal, but Jesus healed the sick. Again, I believe it is God's will to heal. I'll say just two more. We close. Well, it is God's way to heal, because even after Jesus died, healings continued in the book of Acts. I have to add this particular point because there are some people who have no problem reading the miracles in the Bible. They have a problem with whether healing still happens today. Healing did not end with Jesus, because even after he died in the book of Acts, people were still getting healed. That tells you that even till now, people are still getting healed. Healing is available today. You know, if after Jesus died, nobody ever got healed again, we would have said, oh, that was the end. God just came to do that. But come on, in Acts chapter 3, a cripple got up. A cripple. Look at the Bible said they did with great power, signs and wonders. These guys were so amazed. There was no manner of sickness they did not find healed in the book of Acts. In fact, in Acts 5 verse 14, the same testimony that was shared concerning Jesus was also spoken concerning these guys. Acts 5 and verse 14. Put it up. Acts 5 14. And believers, we are the more added to the Lord. See the next verse? The next verse of the previous verse. In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Everyone. The same thing that happened in Jesus' ministry continued after he left. So I believe that God is still healing the sick even today. And I tell you, we're going to have this testimony. Everyone healed by the power of God. God is still healing the sick till tomorrow. So, I believe that God is still healing. I believe that God wants to heal you. And this is another reason I believe. I close with this. The last reason I believe that it is God's will to heal is because he is our shepherd. Woo! You know, in Psalm 23, I told you something, though. Was that at start of fire that I said that the strongest animal is not the lion. The strongest animal is the sheep. Do you remember I told you that? Because it is only the sheep that has a shepherd. Amen. Who is stronger? The man who has six packs with all the muscle, or the small boy who has a man following him with a big gun? Think about it. Carrying AK-47, following him up and down. Small boy. The strength, the strongest person is not that bad that has his back, so it's one that has this small boy. That's why you see they talk about the governor. You will never see him carrying gun. They just walk up and down. Father, you see them walking like it's no man's business. Don't go close. See now, that walk, there are over 500 security forces around that place as they're walking up and down. And you just see a governor sitting down drinking beer. He's not alone, though. Ah, he's not working alone. It's not Liverpool. He never works. There are more than 500 guys. I'm just everywhere. If it is that easy, with all the hatred you have towards our politician, why have they not been killed? You hate your president. He's alive and God will keep him for us. Because they may look weak, but strength is not about acquiring muscles. The strongest animal, as I've shown you, is that sheep that has a strong shepherd. And the Lord is our shepherd. Because God is our shepherd, I believe this is way to hear. Let me know what I mean. If the sheep, if you have sheep to take care of, and the sheep falls sick, you fix the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Nothing. So, if it is healing the sheep needs, the shepherd provides. God will not be called a good shepherd if he's not in the business of healing. Yeah, because if you fall sick and he cannot fix it, we can't call him a good shepherd. Because he's my shepherd. I was thinking about this afternoon. If he cannot heal me when I'm sick, why is he my shepherd? If he cannot provide for me when I'm hungry, so what is his job? If he cannot protect me when they come to attack me, what's now his job? That's why healing is in Jesus. Protection is in him. Provision is in him because he is our shepherd. This single revelation of the Lord is my shepherd can change your life forever. You never see the sheep afraid. The only place you see the sheep afraid is when it's alone, when it's not with the shepherd. Once the shepherd is around, the sheep is calm. When he said, I will give my people pastors after my own heart, shepherds that will protect them. I think that's Jeremiah. He said, I will give them pastors after my own heart. He said, they shall no longer be afraid. Look for that verse. Jeremiah 3:15, yes. I will give you pastors according to my own heart. We shall feed knowledge and understanding. Next verse. And it's according to pastors, you shall be multiplied. And all of that, the Ark of the Covenant. Just continue. If you get to the place where he says, they shall no longer be afraid. Because actually, see the next verse. What brings fear? Actually. Continue. Oh. Okay. Ezekiel 34. Because of our time. Let me show you this thing. What I wanted to show here with Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 from verse 1. I'll come back to Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Look at that. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, that's Ezekiel talking. Continue. You eat the, no, come on, go to verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Because he had an issue with the shepherds. Because I'm trying to show you what God expected the shepherds of Israel to do. So you don't understand the job of a shepherd. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them. Thus said the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? So God expects shepherds to feed the flock. I get to the point. That's why, by the time I'm not teaching, you should also understand the place of a pastor. Because God is our good shepherd. A pastor is a caretaker shepherd that has put you under. So a pastor cannot say, people are hungry, people are broke. I don't care. All I know is that I have to give them the word of God. No. There is a place for not praying for them, blessing them. So a pastor cannot only be concerned about people's spiritual life too. There is a place for praying for their finances. I get what I'm talking about. There is a place for praying for their health. See the next verse. You eat the fat and you clothe you with wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The disease have you not strengthened. Neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. So it's better the shepherd to bind people that are sick, to heal them. So when you now hear the Lord is my shepherd, that's what he does. Are you what I'm saying? He said, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you cruel them. Verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd.
And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. So when there is no shepherd, the sheep is prey to anything. The only thing that makes the sheep not a prey to whatever is when there's a shepherd. And the Lord is our shepherd. So you can trust him to heal you. You can trust him to keep you safe. You see the way the sheep walks through any... The psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Do you know why? The Lord is my shepherd. So he's walking through a danger zone. You know, the Igbos have a proverb. A child you carry at your back does not know how far the journey is. So you notice there is a danger zone. The sheep is walking freely. It's the shepherd who is with gun trying to check out danger. The sheep is just walking. Even though I walk to the blood of children, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the secret. That's why I can go through and say, yeah, this place, there is COVID. Once you enter, you catch it. You are walking through. Is your shepherd making sure you don't catch COVID? So shepherd is making sure. So it is the sheep that has no shepherd that is afraid. But we have a shepherd. And because I now have a shepherd, there is no reason why a sheep should be sick and a shepherd will not heal. For what reason? For what? It is God's way to heal you, sir. You know, I've brought it down now to even the saints in Christ. You as the saints in Christ, it is God's way to heal you. Because he's your shepherd. It's his job. It's his job description. Just like father-son relationship. You have a daughter, you have a son, a baby in your hand. When the child falls sick, you are the one that will take care of the child. You don't even ask questions like, okay, for instance, I was giving this example the other time. I know if a child of two children, two young children, who drank, smoke powder. Full powder like this. They came, two of them. They would, while we put in his hand, lick, give the sister. Until they finish the full. By the time the parents could come in, they were lying down. Almost gone. So they had to take them to the hospital. It was a whole lot. Now, at that point, the mother is not thinking of, it's your fault. What carry your... That's not the question at that time. I get what I'm talking about. That's why, no matter what the sickness is, when before God heals you, he's not questioning you to say, what did you do wrong? After he has healed you, pastor will now begin to teach how to keep your health in order. You're not because what you do wrong. But it's not going to say, until you fix what you've done wrong, I am not going to heal you. No. So they took those children to the hospital. Think about it. If you come, you know, God forbid. That's a testimony that they read here recently. From this church. One of our people here, in her place of work, she's a teacher. The student, a teenager, two students also, swallowed valve. You know what valve is? If you know, football, ball. You know that thing they used to cover? He was trying to blend the thing. He swallowed it. And the thing got stuck here. On the chest. Guess what? He didn't tell anybody. You know, children. After days had passed. How many days had passed? And then, it was not disturbing him. He had told his mom. Took him to the hospital. Ran x-ray. They saw the valve there. It wasn't going down, it wasn't coming out. At that point, the question is not, somebody was saying, I'll kill the child. No, you won't kill the child. You won't even do anything at that point. Because he was literally going before their eyes. And glory to God for healing. Because one of our people here was a teacher, her form teacher. Get the point? And called, why is she not in school? Said, see what happened. And the mother was crying. Please, because they know she prays, preaches to them and prays for them. Please pray for my son so that he will not die. And we don't have money for surgery. Because they had said the surgery was going to happen the next day. I forgot how much they cost. They didn't have the money. And they were, even apart from the money, they were scared. Surgery to bring out valve and what have you. And the lady prayed. By the next morning, the child woke up, vomited everything. After many weeks. Everything. The mother called and was shouting. Everybody was shouting. That's the love of Jesus.
At that point, it's not a question of, what were you doing to swallow up? Let's get well first. That's how God treats our health issues. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd takes care of us. He takes care of us. He takes care of us. Hallelujah. I've done stupid things in my life. I've played with my ear one day and one big thing fell into my ear. I'm not joking. And I wasn't a child. Yes. So, I just knelt down and said, Father, I'm going to learn my lesson, but this stuff has to get out of this ear. I can't forget that Sunday morning, the day I started going to church, on my way, I just felt the thing fell off. Something that's gone inside came out. You know, God is not, of course, I learned my lesson. I changed my evil ways, but I would like you to know, God is not after whatever. He's your shepherd. It is his job to take care of you. Do you know, let me close. That is why there is divine leading. You know what divine leading is? Divine leading is your shepherd trying to make sure you don't get, just like your mother. Because you know, where get men on, they just come and ask the mother, but why did you leave that thing where the children can touch it? You know, there are situations like that. That thing you buy, they say, keep out of the reach of children. Because they know it is the duty of the father to protect the kids. Part of the protection is to separate some things from them. That's why in the valley, you find God saying, don't touch this, don't do this. All of that is trying to make sure that he keeps you in perfect health. But even the days you defy that divine leading and eventually do those things, the shepherd still swings into action to make sure he restores you. This is not to promote carelessness, but it is to let you know that no matter what it is, your shepherd wants to heal you. Let's close with Psalm 23. Do you want to read it? Let's stand to our feet. Let's read it loud. Woo! Hallelujah. Because one of the things we're going to do in this series a lot is to confess God's word a lot. Are you ready? Let's go together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. You know, as already did, I just sense the Lord saying, there is restoration. Organs in your body are not functioning well. God is restoring. He's fixing them. You know, go to verse 1. Drop NLT. Let's read again like a masquerade with NLT. Are you ready? It will sink now. Let's go now. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Read it again. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. One last one. The Passion Translation. Oneno Shataya. Anukumbra de la Kabarataya. God is our healer. He's our restorer. Because he's my shepherd. Are you ready? Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than. Do you want to read that again? The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives. Oh, say he revives my life. He will revive you. New strength, new bones, new organs. You know, I was doing a question this afternoon. I said, I'm strong in the Lord. My bones are declared strong. My organs declare strong. My kidney declare strong. My liver declare strong. My eyesight declare strong. I'm strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. He restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I will never be lonely, for you are near. Hallelujah. It's beautiful to read God's word, don't you think so? Let's read again. You become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. Verse 6. So why should I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I will return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, we have a shepherd in him. Glory to God. Pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Healing is working in me. Just pray. If there's any sickness in your body, it is time to address it. Woo. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Jemele de berebe sobra de berebe lataya. If you want to pray, 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 just pray. I don't want to interrupt you, just pray. Many of you, to start with revelation. It will start with revelation and graduate into possession. You will have it. It will be your experience. It will not be what people say. It will be your own story. I don't care how many times you've tried to get healed. Let the word of God take root in you. I believe it is God's will to heal me. I believe it is God's will to restore me. I believe it is God's will to fix the issues. I believe it is God's will. I believe and I know it is God's will to heal me and to restore me and to keep me in perfect health. Yeah. Darling Jesus. Darling Jesus. Oh my darling Jesus. You're a wonderful God. I love you so much. My darling Jesus. Oh my darling Jesus. You're a wonderful God. Darling Jesus. Darling Jesus. Oh my darling Jesus. You're a wonderful God. I love you so much. My darling Jesus. Oh my darling Jesus. You're a wonderful man. Healer Jesus. My healer Jesus. Oh my healing Jesus. You're a wonderful God. I love you so much. My healer Jesus. Oh my healer Jesus. You're a wonderful. You are my healing Jesus. You are my healing Jesus. Oh my healing Jesus. You are a wonderful God. I love you so much. My healing Jesus. Oh my healing Jesus. You are a wonderful God. My darling Jesus. Oh my darling Jesus. You are a wonderful God. I love you so much. I love you my darling Jesus. Oh my darling Jesus. Elebashanda labarata na basutoya. Provider Jesus. Provider Jesus. Enemene shuna malataya. You're a wonderful God. I love you so much. I love you, Provider Jesus. Oh, my darling Jesus. You're a wonderful God. Restorer Jesus. Restorer Jesus. Enemene toshine malataya. You are a wonderful God. I love you so much. Restorer Jesus. Oh my darling Jesus. You're a wonderful God. Protector Jesus. Anamashune mele 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 meta. Oh my darling Jesus. You are a wonderful God. I love you so much. I love you my healing Jesus. Oh my darling Jesus. You're a wonderful God. Ha ha. I am a shuni ne mene 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 batuga la barada yade no mada. Oh my darling Jesus. You're a wonderful God. I love you so much. I love you my darling Jesus. Oh my darling Jesus. You're a wonderful God. I met a man so full of life. He came to me and gave me life. He made my life so free from pains. Hallelujah. I met a man so full of life. He came to me and gave me life. He made my life so free from pain. Hallelujah. Sing it. I met a man so full of life. He came to me and gave me life. Made my life so free from pain. Hallelujah. I met a man so full of life. He came to me and gave me life. He made my life so free from pain.
Hallelujah.
I met a man so full of peace.
this man so full of grace. He came to me and gave me grace. He made my life so free from sin. Ay, ay, ay.
Hallelujah.
I met a man so full of life. He came to me and restored my life. He made my life so free from pain. Sing it.
Hallelujah.
I met a man, sing. I met a man so full of life. He came to me and gave me life. He made my life so free from pain. Ay, 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 ay.
Hallelujah.
Ay, ay. I met this God so full of love. He came to me and gave me love. He made my life so free from sicknesses. Oh,
hallelujah.
Ay, ay. A man so full of mercy. He came to me and gave me mercies. He made my life so free from diseases. Oh,
hallelujah.
I met a man so full of mercy. He came to me, he was merciful unto me. Oh, he made my life so free from pain.
Hallelujah.
Father, thank you. I'm hearing restoration. Your body is being restored. What God is trying to help somebody, somebody I'm talking to, is a guy. He's trying to deliver you from that cycle of consistent, continuous hospital visitation and living on drugs. That is coming to an end now. Every part of your body is hereby released to function to the full capacity that God created it to function now. Your heart, your organs, your kidney, every part of your body begins to function to that full capacity that God made it to function. In the name of Jesus. Life is working in me. I said, life is working in me. I'm enjoying the mercy of God. 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 The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He restores my soul. He revives my life. He sets my life on a course. My body, my organs, capacity that God created them to function. My body is working, operating, functioning in the full capacity that God created it to function. I'm whole. Rapha is my God. Rapha is my God. Rapha is my God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'm made whole. I'm restored. I'm made whole. I'm restored. Healing is working in me. Life is working in me. Life is working in me. There's no death in me. No death in my organs. My organs don't deteriorate. They are renewed every day. They are refreshed every day. They are don't abarate kempreta la komara. A shilebo kankri kato be. Ezizebela konia te pa kumbrataya. So let that fear in your heart cease. Because I'm restoring your body. I'm restoring your body. Yes, I'm talking about someone that has seen a pattern of sickness in his ancestry. It has happened to your parents and the people that came before them and the other people related to you. And you begin to notice those things in your body. Something is telling you you are approaching the age when it will happen to you too. Let that fear disappear. But the Lord is restoring your life. Bringing you back to shape. Bringing you to wholeness. Because the path of the just is like a shining light. That shines brighter and brighter. That will be the story of your health. It will shine brighter and brighter. As you get older, you get stronger. In the name of Jesus. Your body will function to the full capacity. that God created it to function. In the name of Jesus. Hear me, friends. It's not every death that should be caused by sickness. There are deaths that should come because your job is done on earth and you just go. You know what I'm saying? Look at the apostles. Not one of them died of sickness. Think about it. All martyrdom. But they just died naturally. And even when martyrdom was about to come upon them, they knew it was close. Paul will write and say, I've finished my course and now I'm ready to go. Peter said, I'm now ready to be offered up as well. So they knew. So not one of them was scared that sickness might just take away our lives. The Lord is bringing you to the best of your life. In the name of Jesus. Say, I live long. I live strong. With nothing wrong. You're fully restored. Shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? We're just getting started. Sunday is going to be very powerful. Anyone you know that is sick, that is trusting God for healing, the person just give me Sunday and Thursday in the month of July. Except that sickness is bigger than the finger of God. Anybody you know. Online or anywhere. Amen. Because every time we teach about healing, everything we teach about the God's word is present. First, we can talk about healing, the power of God is present to heal. I saw someone that has something with the chest. Yeah. You find that that sickness is good. It's not something that is happening now, apostles. It just comes. But it's sorted now. Asthma is healed. In the name of Jesus. I said, asthma is healed. It's not going to reoccur again. In the name of Jesus. I said, asthma is healed. I'm hearing it in my spirit. In the name of Jesus. Why bless today?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.